all over the world, starting in Paris, in New York, in Los Angeles, and in the suburbs of San Francisco. And so I thought, since you all know that my background is celebrity makeup artist, and I know that we generally are talking about the controversies and the things that go behind the laws in California relating to you know what, but we're suspending that conversation today for the greater good of the people who love fashion, who love music, who love the wave of change, who love designers, artists, executive producers, and people who make us who we are. Because without fashion, without artists, without makeup, without the backdrop of music, who would we be? I don't know. I would have to figure for myself. But anyway, I am just so privileged to bring to you from New York City, fresh off the runway, we have Manhattan's own designer to the stars, Adrian Alisea. Welcome, Adrian.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm happy to be here.
Now, we also have with us, and this is a special too, because we have two guests today. The spotlight business today is going to be the wonderful executive producer of her 10th annual runway extravaganza going down in the suburbs of San Francisco next weekend. Her name and welcome in our spotlight business is Christina Strawberry.
I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, well, we are so happy to have you on LA Miracle Cure in the business spotlight, you and my dear friend, Adrian. So I would like to just start off the conversation. Adrian, you are a fashion designer. You're a woman's best friend. I mean, without you, we couldn't show up at the Oscars. We couldn't show up to the Emmys. We couldn't go out to the grocery store, and many of us would never make the Met Gala. So I want to know, what is it like to be Adrian Alisea?
Well, I thank you for the wonderful compliments. I think being a creative genius, I was never called a designer to myself because it's a whole other world. But being a creative genius and creating beautiful pieces that women and men could just feel comfortable with, and that is the first start, is how getting to know the client and what are they comfortable wearing, and you accommodate them. I work a lot with private clients and special orders and made to measure. That has been my specialty for a while. Yeah.
Wow, made to measure. I love that. Because, you know, we're all not a size 0 or 2 or 4. We're all not 6 feet tall. And we're definitely not trained models to wear some of that haute couture that is known in your genre of fashion designers. Adrian, where did you start? Did you start in New York? Did you start in Paris? I hear you've worked with Naomi Campbell. You've been on the runway yourself. Give us a little backdrop of how did you get introduced to the business?
Well, to go in back to really quick about the size 2. In fashion, they usually show a size 2 because you're showing to a client. And the size 2 will not offend the audience. When you put a girl or a woman that's a size 10 down the runway, sometimes it offends the audience. That's the way the world of Vogue did it. So the size 2 is just to show on a sample. Then they order 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 to get that clear. Like most people think they're just using the skinny girls because everybody should be skinny. No, it's just that you show on a sample, which is a 2 and a 4. So that's that. But the way I got started, I was at a club in 1989 called The Tunnel in New York City. And Ray Dawn Chong came up to me and she told me that I should go to Paris and work for her dear friend, who was Terry Mugler, who had gave me the chance to be on the runway. And my first runway partner was Iman, David Bowie's wife, and Willie Ninja, who was, to me, the creator that started Vogue in Paris is Burning. It's a film that I'm in as well. So those were the beginnings of my stages, going to Paris and model for the master Mugler. And from there, I did Armani, Jean-Paul Gaultier, Hermès, and so on.
Oh, my goodness. Christina, did you hear that? You know,
I did.
Yes, my experience with Terry Mugler was working in San Francisco at one of the high-end stores. They're not our sponsor, so I won't call their names, but I will say that Angel, the fragrance, was one of my first ways of getting to know Terry Mugler. And Christina, tell us, how did you fall in love with fashion?
Well, it goes back to my childhood. My grandmother was actually in fashion, and my mother was in fashion. So I was always surrounded by very strong women who had a very distinct look. And I was raised Roman Catholic, so we always dressed up for church on Sundays. We always had great hats. So I have a big passion for hats. And for fashion, just going back to when I was like 3 or 4 years old.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And you know what? And as most people know, I'm from the San Francisco Greater Bay Area, now stationed in Los Angeles. But in San Francisco, people dressed. I mean, I don't know. But Christina, do you remember the twins? Do you remember the twins?
Oh, definitely. Yes, yes, yes. I do remember the twins. In fact, they were regulars at Scala's at the Sir Francis Drake. And my son, Christopher, was the general manager there. So they had their little booth with their names on it, and they would come in on a regular basis, dressed to the T. You know, they were personalities by their clothing.
Absolutely. It was such a refreshing thing to see them 40 years on Union Square, dressed. They were twins, born in 09 or 1920. So they, at the time that I was working there in the 80s and 90s, they were well into their 50s and 60s, but they set the tone for such designers to create this haute couture suits and outer daywear with hats, gloves, accessories, the pumps. Adrian, I know you can see it right now, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because you're in New York. Yes, and tell me about what's the feeling when we're in New York? How does fashion wrap around New York City? Give us that feeling.
I think fashion, what I've learned from being in New York City in the 80s, in the 80s, New York was full of fashion, including from, whether you had the punk era, you had the hip-hop era growing. I grew up with salsa. And then you had all the hookers on 47th Street and 42nd Street. And the hookers alone were just an amazing look with the short mini skirts and the fur coats and the pimps. They had real pimps in 42nd Street. And I was like 12 years old. This is all fashion that people, and fashion and style, it works together. And New York is a cosmopolitan. It's a melting pot of people from all over the world. And what I learned about New York City and being here, no one is afraid to push forward and to be different and to just be confident in whatever you wear. And that's what it is. I had friends that would wear, let's say, a Mickey Mouse outfit to the club and with a lunchbox. We thought it was genius. People, of course, well, what is she wearing? But to be have an individual style, and that's what it is that most people think. To be chic, you have to wear like the matching shoes with the matching bag. That does work as well, but it's okay to throw a zebra bag with a leopard shoe. And that's what becomes the conversation point for me. I've learned with women that they think they made a mistake in fashion, and I'm like, oh, no, this is perfect. It inspired me because she dared to take it to another level instead of just blending in.
I love that. Now, Christina, as a business owner, when you hear a designer talk of this way about fashion, and with your, your expertise in being able to buy into your store, what do you look for that would be different, let's say, on the West Coast in the suburbs of San Francisco, opposed to a New York setting? When you think about what you have in your store, do you buy differently or tell us?
Well, what I try to do, I'm a fairly small store. I have about 1,600 square feet, but it's an unusual mix of clothing and accessories that I actually purchase from design houses and manufacturers all around the world. And so my customer really, they come from all over the Bay Area to shop with me because of the mix of lines that I carry. And so I'm not a specific style. I'm not going after a specific age person. I'm across the board as far as looks. And so what Adrian is talking about is the more modern way of dressing. And, you know, we're not put into the boxes where you can't wear white after Labor Day. You know, you always match things up, like he was saying. Women really want, they've experienced their freedom in the workplace and with maybe retirement, they're traveling more. And a lot of my customers go to Europe and they want to dress like the Europeans. And so they come to me for that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So Adrian, tell us, we don't know. We are all out here hanging by a thread because we're trying to think, are we hot or not? That's what we're thinking right now.
Well,
we're worried about, am I a size 10, am I a 2, and do I get an example? Tell us, what is hot? We're dying to know.
Well, what is hot? Of course you have trends. I normally don't follow a trend. I like to create a trend. So depending on the woman, every woman has a different style. And that's what it is for me. So I try to create different dresses. Like if I have a collection of 16 dresses, I try to make them slightly different because one woman might want her back out or her cleavage or sleeves. Or it's depending, again, I have 9 sisters of myself. And I learned a lot from them. And each of them were like, well, I don't want my arms covered because I have the flag here. Oh, I love my girls, so give me a stronger cleavage, depending on the woman. So when I design, I think of all those women that have told me, Adrian, but what about me? So again, when a woman puts on a garment, I can tell by the way she smiles and she just gives me a hug, like this is the dress. You know, so I work with so many different women and men, but especially with women, they just put on a big smile and I know that the dress fits them. And that's the one for her, and it's a wrap. And I'm not the best salesperson, but I know how to communicate with a client and make them feel comfortable in the garment. And especially because I made it, that is more important to the woman that I work with.
And they have one of a kind. So, you know, that's...
Oh, of course.
Yeah, talk about that. Talk a little bit about, what do you mean when you say one of a kind?
Well, as an independent designer, I make pieces that are exclusive with the client so I can collaborate, like with Christina. She's Adrian. I need the little black dress, but I want the special embellishments. I can collaborate with the person, or I can just make the pieces and the woman would just buy from the collection. So that's more of a collaborating. I love to collaborate with clients because I do a lot of one of a kind because I have a small showroom here in Harlem. And normally, when you collaborate with the client, you screen a relationship, and then they feel like they're involved with the design process as well. And I let them. And that helps, yeah. That's on the special order, made to measure. Of course, I have the pieces that they can just buy from the rack. Yes. But I also like that woman that can create with me and say, oh, can you give me, and we take measurements, and I make it for her. And she's even feeling more special because she's like, I collaborated with a designer. Wow. And that's what I like to do, is make the woman feel like she has some involvement in it.
Absolutely. Christina, so the modern woman, you've talked a little bit about that. And, you know, we are a majority in the United States, and we drive, our pocketbook drives the economy of the entire world. So it's very interesting how we must be happy in how we look. So tell me, if you could think about 3 points in terms of image that are important that kind of correlate with fashion, what would you say is good right now? What is really selling and what is hot? What are the 3 pieces that women everywhere need?
Well, and it gets back to what Adrian is talking about, I don't follow trends specifically. I try to bring in things that are unusual and they're beyond a trend, that they're going to keep in their wardrobes for many years, mm-hmm. and they're going to build on those items. So a really strong jacket is really important, and we've got some great jackets and coats right now. And I always kind of parallel it to armor. It's like what we need to fight the environments and the politics and all that. We all need a great coat or great jacket. And the accessory is also really important. It's very bold right now. Some ethnic look to it, but and also very modern. And so I try to capture that when I buy accessories and when my customer is looking for an accessory, because that can really pull off a look. The other area that we're really is color. People are attracted to color. Of course, there's all shades of black, and we all have shades of black in our wardrobes, but they like that pop of color too. So when I've gone to market recently, I've been trying to concentrate on if something comes in a color, I'll buy that just to give the store a little bit of a different edge, and also the customer.
I love it. Well, everybody, this is a first for LA Miracle Cure. Here on America Out Loud, what we are doing this week, we have a special edition, because everywhere in the world, this is the month of fashion. And straight off of the New York Fashion Week runway, can you believe we have the designer himself, the closer of the show? We have Adrian Alizea. And Adrian, when we come back, I want you to tell us, what is it like to be backstage with Carmen 1928 as you were in Madison Square Gardens just a couple of weeks ago? So we want to hear what that's like. We want to know what it's like. We want to feel Carmen 1928. That is your spring-summer line for 2019, correct?
That is correct. Yes, it was inspired by my mom.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's so endearing. All right, everybody. We'll be right back after these messages.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
And we're back. This is Barbara, your host of LA Miracle Cure. And today we have a special edition. As I've told you, we have Miss Christina Strawbridge from the San Francisco Greater Bay Area suburbs of Benicia. She is going to be hosting her 10th annual runway show that's coming up next weekend. It's going to be a two-day event. We are so excited about that. We also have with us the master himself, impresario Adrian Alizea, the designer from New York, the closer of most fashion shows and of New York Fashion Week, LA Fashion Week, and he's going to be the featured designer in the suburbs of San Francisco next weekend. So we're very excited to have him here. Adrian, I want to go straight to you. What is it that inspires a designer for a collection? I mean, every year, how do you come up with something new and fresh? Is it a purge? Do you have to fast? Do you have to get out of the country? I mean, what inspires you for the collection that we see on the runway?
Well, most collections are inspired by the diary of my memories. I have traveled extensively. I've modeled for many years. And this last collection was inspired by my mom. She died and left me 20 years ago in 1998. This is her 20th anniversary. She was born 1928.
Wow.
So her name was Carmen. So when the storm hit us, I researched that there was a storm before that, Maria, in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. It was in 1928. It was San Felipe in 1928. It was bigger than Maria. It destroyed everything. My grandmother, Amelia, was pregnant with my mom. And she survived the storm. And she was trapped. And she went through a lot. I heard stories. And this was the biggest storm. And I read that. And I said, wow, this is amazing. So I dedicated this last collection to my mom. She wore a lot of pink and red together. And I remember as kids, we were like, those two colors don't go, Mom. And she would tell us, what do your kids know? You know, it was all in Spanish, but she would tell us, what do your kids know? Like, get out of my way. And it was all pink and red. I remember most of her wardrobe were those colors. And I was like, wow. So I incorporated the pink and red in this collection, plus the hair from 1928 and the makeup. And then I blended in with what I do, the urban lifestyle. I grew up in Harlem. And how I traveled abroad to many different countries. I kind of meshed it all together, and I created Carmen 1928, and I just hope she's proud of me. I will be taking most of this collection to Venetia to work with Christina and just share the love, and hopefully San Francisco would, you know, just accept me with hugs and love. That's what I want.
Oh, that's beautiful. You know what I love? I loved how you pulled together the ropes of the synergy, of the numbers, of the love for your mother, the passion for your mother, and to put that in her memory, and then to develop this line of clothing. On the runway, I tell you, it is absolutely spectacular. If people want to see this show that was just last week, where would they go to see that?
They will go right now. I have it all on my Instagram, which is I am Adrian Alisea. And that's how you can find me. Right now, and I'm... excuse me?
That's what we want to know, is where can we find it? Let me ask you this,
Christina.
Yes. Okay, so now you own a store. Now, I know a men's store would be a haberdashery. What is a woman's store called that has various eclectic things? What would you call it?
Well, normally it's a boutique. I've kind of gotten away from boutique. I call it a fashion destination, and it's it's tough right now in retail. You see, even like Ralph Lauren closing stores and our major department stores having a problem in keeping up with what's going on online. So when you have a store, a specialty store, a women's clothing store or a men's store, it really, you have to set yourself apart. And by doing this event, this yearly event, I set myself apart. There's nobody in the Bay Area that's an independent store that's doing what I'm doing. So that you have to continue to market. You can't ever rest on your laurels. You've got to continue to promote, to work at getting yourself recognized. So that's been, it's a joy. I love doing what I do, and I love having my store because it's allowed me to do many, many other things. But the days of easy retail are long gone.
So you're saying, are you thinking that women are holding on to their coins? I mean, what is, I know for myself, let me just say, all right, so I moved from the Bay Area, working in San Francisco Union Square for many, many years on the hard aisle, we call working in retail. And I came down to Los Angeles, and none of my clothes, I can't wear my suits or things like that, because LA is more casual, no, not by any means, but because of the temperature. I can remember when my mother said, oh my goodness, you know, you need to have three great pieces. You need a nice cocktail dress after 5 is what she called it, because certainly girls didn't have cocktails, but it was after 5. You needed a great jacket, and of course you needed a great pair of shoes. And for men, you would judge their soles by their shoes. Can you believe that? That's the way it is. Men out there, get your shoe collection together. So, Adrian, how does a person like myself or a working girl that's listening out there, actually have a piece of a designer, because haute couture, can you explain it to us? That's Paris, that's Milan, that's New York. I mean, that's pricey. So how can we, working girls, afford a piece of, let's say, Carmen 1928? How does it go from an original to a ready-to-wear retail? We don't understand. Explain.
Well, a couture piece basically just means one of a kind. It's made for that one client and no one else. Then it's more couture. It's handmade. When it's a manufactured piece, it becomes ready to wear because you have multiple. So on the couture pieces, I have mainly one-of-a-kind pieces. And it varies. If we have a silk Italian dress that's worth, let's say, $2,000, so how we mark it down is by using maybe some cotton and some rayon and a little poly running some stretch. And then it'll bring down the value, but it still looks expensive. So that's how you work with the client. If she cannot afford or doesn't want to invest in a garment that's $2,000, that the dress can drag behind her on the beach, a beautiful silk dress. If she's doing that on her VIP, we would call it a triple VIP honeymoon suite dress or a yacht dress, you know, triple VIP yacht dress. Then we're going towards that woman. And we have a lot of women out there that do this. And then you have the regular, or the more, I should say, comfortable, that she wants the stretch dress. So I would put a stretch cotton. I do that a lot with my dresses, because the woman is comfortable without any slippers sometimes, and just slips right in and out. And easy to travel, non-wrinkle, depending on the fabrics. Again, I always work with fabrics that the woman I know will be comfortable and happy, and she will come back and say, I love the choice of fabric and the style. Because comfort is number one. I believe that, and, you know, it's not like you have, I know May design is like the red bottoms. A lot of people complain, but he said it. I didn't make these for comfort. I made them for style.
Absolutely.
He said it many times.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? I've had dresses where I've gone places, like to awards and the Emmys and the Oscars. When I went to the Oscars, I couldn't sit down. You know, but it was okay because I was fabulous standing up. I mean, that is the reality of who dresses you. And, you know, I love what you said about the color. And Christina, you know, she also said the color. Now, we're talking from one person who's San Francisco area and one person who's in New York driving fashion. And we hear the same thing.
Merge together. Yeah, and I'm happy that we've been merging together, Christina. This is wonderful. I'm excited to be a part of this. This is your fifth year. Is it a fifth year anniversary?
Tenth year.
Look at me. I'm talking about it. Okay, well, 10 years. And look at that. So now I have, you know, 10. Look at that. There's 10 in my family. My mother had 10 kids along with my dad. So that's a great number.
Okay. Absolutely.
So look at this.
You know, and I love the fact that we're all talking about our moms, too, because I lost my mom 4 years ago, and she was a huge influence on me in so many ways. But I love that you've dedicated this collection to your mom, Carmen. It's very
awesome.
Cool.
Absolutely.
I know. It's amazing to have that influence. And my mom used to sew little tutu skirts for my sisters all by hand. She never knew how to work a machine, so she really was a couture designer, because she was all by hand and needle and thread. That's all. So that's when you know that it came from a mama. I got it, you know. Because I didn't go to school for this. This was a gift.
Absolutely.
I had no training in knowing how to make a garden at all. This is actually a gift that it was a gift. So I have cherished it.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. All right, so when we have those beautiful organzas and the taffetas and that beautiful mesh that you use, I mean, it's unbelievable when we see those things on the runway, the shears and the, I'm overwhelmed. But now, when we see that on the rack, how does that work? When a person describes the color and tells us that these are the patterns we're going to use for spring, summer, these are the colors that are in, this is the design that we're looking for, what happens that takes it from a $10,000 piece to a $350 piece that I can get in every size? I think women really want to know that. How does that work? Is it a change in the color? Is it a change in the fabric? Is it a change?
It's always fabric. Like H&M does it for one. H&M sends all of their buyers all to Europe, Tommy Hilfiger, in America. They sit down and they copy the Christian Dior, the Balenciaga, the Louis Vuitton, Gucci. They copy them and it trickles down into the H&M, which is the cheap fabric. The chairs and breaks in a week. They all copy the high-end designers. This is what they do. And then you'll see it as a maybe not a $300 dress, and maybe a $60 dress. That's what they do, because they make it commercial and just like what they call, you know, cheap. So
and also where they have it manufactured too. You know, that also cuts the cost, and so much of this is made in China and in other areas that you know, really don't pay fair wages to their workers. And so one of my things is try to get things that are made here in the U.S. or else they're made in countries that do provide fair wages. And interesting enough, customers are looking for that. They're looking for where it's made, how companies are treating their workers.
Well, that's very interesting. Yes. Because I want you to know, our listeners to know, that Christina, we've been talking a little bit about the fashion show that she's producing. She owns a boutique in the suburbs of San Francisco, actually in the lovely city right on the water called Benicia. And that's very high end. We're very excited that Adrian next weekend, the 28th, 29th, will be there in person along with several other designers. But Christina, this is your passion because it is a charitable event. So if you could tell us a little bit about who, when you put together a fashion show and you select the charity to work with, what type of charity is going to be the beneficiary of this next weekend's event?
Well, this year, as it has been the last 4 years, I work with Seroptimus International, which is a women's group that helps women and girls. And in Benicia, in our town, they've worked very hard to provide a safe house for women and children, and actually it came to fruition last year. They were able to open a safe house here, and the funds that we've raised through the years has gone to that. I do other things for the community. We have a community action council that we do fashion show to help with senior meals in the community, and then I've also done other things for our local hospital for their cancer wing. And it's wonderful to pair fashion with a good cause. And the Seroptimus is a wonderful group here that is very active, and they do many other things. They provide scholarships for, again, women that need education for their work, for their advancement in their professions. So it's one that I really believe in, and I work very hard on their behalf.
Well, you know, what you said was key to me, and what you said was a safe house. And I think a lot of us, you know, those of us who are blessed to be able to have a wonderful family, and, you know, we are working, we have gainful employment, we have our kids in college, and, you know, we're settling back and we're starting to enjoy our lives. A lot of us don't really recognize that there are other women out there struggling either because they are single parents or whether they are widows, if you will, or even if they are in a place of domestic violence. And I'm not pairing all that together, but I am saying that people are living and in need of help. And I love how fashion and the opulence of it, the elegance of it, can then go and help women who are in desperate need of a place to stay. They're under domestic violence. They've had to flee their homes with their children. I mean, I just commend you for that. So, you know, here at LA Miracle Cure, in terms of America Out Loud, we would like to really lift this up. And this is why we're doing this lifestyle piece, because we like to know that there, we'd like to just, you know, honor those that are out there that are helping the community, because that's what we all need to be doing. Now, when we come right back, you guys are listening to LA Miracle Cure. And of course, you can go to America Out Loud and you can look up Weekend and you can see LA Miracle Cure. Click there and you can listen to all of our shows. We are now in season 2, and this is a special edition lifestyle. And we're talking with Adrian, Alisea, and Christina Strawbridge, and we're talking about the 10th annual Benicia Runway Extravaganza coming up next weekend, September 28th, 29. All right, so we'll be right back after these messages.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
We're back. This is LA Miracle Cure, and this is your girl coming from Los Angeles, California. Now, the greatest thing about this and modern technology is I have my favorite designer on coming live from New York City, and I have my new friend, my new bestie, Christina, and she's coming from my favorite place in the world, which is the Bay Area, where I was raised, the Greater Bay Area, San Francisco area. And so we're coast to coast. I love it. It's so exciting. At this point, we can now talk a little bit about runway. Everybody wants to know about that, about the models, about the exciting, the hair and makeup, what's happening backstage. We want to get a backstage pass to New York Fashion Week, to LA Fashion Week. We want to know what it's like. Adrian, take us there. So as a designer and as a closer, you're backstage. You've seen everybody else's models. You've seen all the runway. You've seen everything. So what are you thinking while you're dressing your models?
Well, you know what's crazy? I've done group shows where it's a collaboration with other designers. I never get a chance to see the other designers' work, because as a designer and creator, you're too busy looking at your own thing. So I just did a show here in New York, and there were maybe 10 other designers or 15. I don't remember anyone's garments, and they're right in front of me, because I'm focused on mine and my models. So that's where your brain is not open to be like, oh, let's see Susie's collection. I have no time for that. There is not, honestly, you're in another whole world as a designer. You're thinking, is the hair, the makeup, is everything finished? Is the detail to the last thread? It's a rush. It's a rush of the adrenaline, of stress and buildup and excitement all together. So I'm just thinking about, is the music ready? We have it in key, all the models ready, and bring her out even if her hair is not done. Get it done online. And that's what, as a model, I've seen it, how other designers in Europe, from Mr. Armani to Jean-Paul Gaultier, they do yell. I thought that they just put their hands in the pocket and walk back and forth. No, they're yelling. Get online. Strong attitude. Stand up straight. Do this. The girls have to. They're representing a line that's about to be shown to the world. These are the first models wearing it. And all these beautiful clients to be are in the audience. So the good news is that there's so many people that everyone is happy. Because if you don't like a dress, the next person will. That's what I've learned.
And you know what? When they come out, I've seen your shows before. I know the one thing that I think that sets you apart is you are inspired to do a film about the collection. So there's like a film, mini short, that, you know, we love that in L.A. There's a mini short that comes on first that has all the designs. And it's like a theme, a thread. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the films come inspired by the collection. So instead of me sending out a photo and say, hi, you're invited to my show and for the whatever it is, presentation, I would make a short film of 3 minutes that would resemble the collection. And then they would see it live, of course, right after the film. It's a 3-minute film. It's just a fashion film / commercial. And this is my inspiration. Then you see it on the runway. And it makes sense to the client. So I first address it with a beautiful short film that I directed and wrote and with the costume. And that's what I, but I don't show every piece because I have 60 outfits. That's a few weeks ago. So maybe I'll show 10 or 7 on the film, not to give it all away. Yeah.
I love that's it.
I love it.
And it's always a femme fatale running with the fashion chasing her. And oh my goodness, it takes you to another level, everybody out there. I tell you, this is it. This is the fashion at its best. And before I go to Christina, I'd like to just know, what does it mean when I say to you, Marlena Dietrich, when I say Cher, when I say the Marilyn, what does that mean to you, Adrian?
It means a lot because actually this last collection, I opened a dress that people called it the Marilyn dress. And I had a white one. I was inspired by her in New York City when on top of the train station in the vent. So the first dress that opened was inspired by that shoot. And then those Marlena Dietrich, if you go in to see my collection, I'm inspired by those women. Those women were powerful. They were leaders. Cher, a lot of Bob Mackie did all her things, and they were all sheer and transparent. So I've learned the sheer, I like this because I just like freedom and I'm just a free spirit. But you can work with any fabric, and if a woman likes it, you can always line it. For the runway, I'm a little daring and provocative and risque. Yes, people know me for that. I think that's what brings them out because it brings out the shade of black or gray. And then normally they're like, oh, Adrian, I had women come up to me and said, Adrian, that video made me a little moist. Well, of course it is, my dear, because someone's not doing it at home. Excuse my French, but if you have to. We need it in life. Without a little sexiness and without a little provocativeness, it becomes boring.
Absolutely.
So I've learned never to be boring. Exactly. And my hashtag is beauty will save the world. So me making beautiful pieces, which they makes women happy when they put on beautiful clothing. And Christina knows that she runs a shop. She deals with women all day.
Exactly. So Christina, tell me, so are people looking for the provocative? Are they looking, do they come in your store and they say, I need it shorter, I need it tighter, I need it more risque? What are they looking for when they go to the events in the Greater Bay Area, San Francisco?
Well, I think Adrian talked about it earlier. They look for comfort first. And they're, women come into the store and they all have, you know, a particular part of their body that they're not happy with. And a lot of times it's their arms, it's like, you know, their tummies, whatever. And, you know, we try to make them look as gorgeous as they possibly can. And they trust us. They come to us with trust because my staff is wonderful as far as being truthful on how they look. And we want to do the best job because it doesn't do us any good if they leave and they end up not wearing the garment or don't feel comfortable in it. So we have some professional entertainers that come to us, and so they're always looking for the avant-garde or something that's stage worthy, and we work with them on that. You know, it's everybody's an individual, and when they come in, we try and treat them that way.
I love it. As a makeup artist,
I love that.
Working with celebrities as well. You know, you're absolutely right. Everybody has a insecurity. But, you know, it's very interesting because when I work with clients, I always recognize that once we get a trust and they trust me, not trusting the mirror, but trust me and my authority and my ability to bring forth their best look. Once I've established that, many of my clients never even look back into the mirror to see how their makeup's done. Most of them say at that point, can you give me a ride to the event? And so then we move on to get the ride and get them over on time. But you know, I wanna talk a little bit about Project Runway. And how does that have something to do, because we all know Mr. Gunn and Heidi Klum, you know, we all know them as, because they come into our homes every week, and we know the great designers from Project Runway. Christina, tell us, how does that tie into your 10th annual event in Benicia?
Well, I've actually had the opportunity to work with Richard Hallmark, who is a mutual friend between Adrian and myself. And Richard, I met him. He's a Sacramento, California designer. He got on the show, but I actually had met him before he was on Project Runway. And he has been so generous with his relationships from contestants that were on the show for many different seasons. And we've invited and had almost 20 different designers that were on Project Runway. So this is a great opportunity for people that follow the show to come and, you know, hear about what the reality is on participating, and then also to see their work. And it's gotten more challenging, I would say, through the years, because a number of these designers don't go forward with collections. A lot of them, you know, go to work for other companies, but that notoriety takes them for maybe a couple of years, but then the reality is they don't have the funding to start a collection, to keep a collection, and that's why it's gotten more difficult. I've this year, besides Adrian, we have four other designers that were on the show. And they're coming, one's coming from Chicago, the rest from L.A. And they all have collections to present.
Well, that's really exciting. So now everybody wants to know. We want to know about the models. So why don't you tell me, Adrian, what are you looking for with a model? What, I mean, I know in L.A. we only use agency girls. That's all we want. We don't want to see anybody else. They got to be 5'10 and up, and we want to see lots of color, and we want to see a lot of ambiguity when it comes to race. The men, we want to see 8-packs, no less. Does it differ in New York?
No, it's all the same. You have to be beautiful. What we call it, aliens in the fashion world. This is why they're 5'10" in size 2, and they're strikingly amazing, because when they're on the runway, whoever's in the audience, they want to look like that. They want to feel as beautiful as a 16-year-old, and we're making her look like she's 20. So it's all a smoke and mirror, but in reality, there are young models. I was a model in Europe, so I was very young when I went, and they're not going to take the short, fat one. I'm sorry. They want the tall, thin one. It's going to look amazing. And this is the risk real. I mean, this is what it is. But I've given a lot of models an opportunity to walk in my show. I had a girl who had scoliosis. Beautiful Caucasian girl. She was anorexic. But she came to the door. People laughed at the casting. She started to cry. I said, come here. She was 5'10", sitting in a rail. And I said, talk to me. When she started talking to me, she said, scoliosis, this and that. She cried. I said, you are in my show because you have more guts than all these kids. Everyone applauded me because I put this young girl in the show who had a crooked back, who had a lump like the Notre Dame on her back, the hunchback. But you know what? The people that laughed, I felt bad for them because this girl came forward. So it's not just me giving the agency models, because yes, that's the way they do it. But I'm just a humanitarian. I'm a vegan. I'm a good person. You give back to people. I put women in my show that were 16. Yes, size 16. And depending on who you relate with, as far as when they come to a casting and they say, hi, my name is Susie. I'm from North Carolina and I'm 5'10" and I'm a 4. Okay, walk for me. If her walk is confident and she's genuine, we have a dress for you, young lady. That's what it is.
I love it. I'm practicing my walk right now as we speak. Do you hear my heels?
And I had a girl named Gina who was 4'10", Caucasian girl, 4'10". But she walked better than I think Naomi Campbell. Like this girl, and I put her in my show, and she's 21 at 4'10", and a size 2, and a Leo, and the attitude of a diva, little freckles, and the red hair, and the blue eyes, and she didn't care who was backstage. At 4'10", she would look at the 6-foot girls like, you're a midget. It was amazing. Right. So you never know. It's all in the energy of the woman and how she feels. And I'm saying the woman as model and the client, especially models, they're going to be on the runway. They have to have the confidence to wear anything. What I've learned in fashion, you take off everything and put on anything as a model. Once you come in, well, I can't wear sheer or I can't wear blue, you shouldn't be in this business. It's not right for you.
Absolutely.
That's what I've learned. Yes.
I also wanted to say that to my listening audience that, you know, Adrian also, I've noticed, does humanitarian work with models because, you know, it's very difficult to make a living and be a model. Come on, let's face it. If you're not with an agency and you're not acting and doing as well, if you're just runway, then you're a size two because you're starving. And so I think it's important for people to know the sacrifice that is fashion. Christina.
Well, there's a lot of girls, one thing is that when they say starving, there's a lot of girls that can gain weight and they are size two and they cry. I have girls that can't gain weight and they stay really thin and people ridicule those girls and we don't know what they're going through. So when people ridicule the thin girls, it's like ridiculing a girl that's big, you know, and meaning fat and fat, obese. So I've learned to just, you talk to the person and you find out who they are and where they're coming from and you open the door. Like Christina opened the door for me and she's having me go over there, you see? And I'm sure she's seen my things and a little provocative, but I know what to bring there. I know how to make her comfortable and the clients that are going to be there.
Absolutely. Well, we're excited to see that. We're excited to see all the models. Christina, so tell me, when you as an executive producer and with 10 shows, or rather 9, and other productions under your belt, how do you pull together the best of the best to satisfy these ticket holders? Tell us in less than a minute, and then we're going to get all your information. Go ahead.
Less than a minute. Okay. Well, I do want to throw in that we have models that were on America's Next Top Model. Erin Green, who was just on the season, was the oldest contestant at 39. And she is going to be our MC, plus she will walk for the designers. We have a number of other ones that were on the show, along with models that come from all over the Bay Area, just to be in the show. It's become the thing to do if you're a model. So again, going back to Richard Hallmark helping me with casting and getting these models, we have 17 models. They will walk for each designer. So the way the show works is that each designer will have their own segment and they will have their designers. They can put them in any segment how they want to as far as lineup, and their presentation is their own. So it works beautifully, and we're excited about having Erin come as our MC.
Oh, wonderful. Well, so, okay, so tell us a little bit about the event. Okay, so on the 28th, I believe, you get started with a trunk show. Tell us a little bit about that, 30 seconds, please.
Okay, well, the 28th is our meet and greet, and what it means is that the five designers will be there, along with Erin Green, and we have probably about 100 people that will buy tickets to hear them talk about their, similar to what we've been doing with Adrian today, their experiences, what things they're looking for in design. And in the Project Runway designers, those people will talk about what it was like to be on the show. And for Adrian, it'll probably be about, you know, talking about as a model and also now as a top designer. That is on Friday night. Afterwards, you come, it's a historic building across the way from my store. That's where we do the meet and greet. And then the designers and whoever wants to come to preview the collections will come over and shop. We will stay open as late as they want to on Friday night. And then Saturday, we do a model call. It starts at 2. That's when all the fittings happen, the makeup, the hair. And then the event starts at 6, and we have food and wine, and the presentation of the runway starts at 7:30. Afterwards, then, it's 500 people that come storming in to buy clothes from the designers. So it's crazy, it's fun, it's exciting, but they really want that immediate gratification. So we give them all opportunities to meet the designers, see what they're doing. We've had a number of things custom done, you know, from the weekend. It's a very exciting time.
Okay, so Adrian, I want to go to you quickly. Sounds like a plan for the weekend, and I say bring your coins, girls, bring your coins. Adrian, so tell me, basically, how do people get in contact with you? I understand you have a catalog. I understand you have YouTube videos. You're very popular on Instagram, on IG. So how can people really hook up with you?
Well, I have a website, adrianoteo.biz. The fastest way is through Instagram. Everybody, for some reason, that is the key. That's how I've been getting all of my clients internationally. So it's I am Adrian Alisea. And, of course, I have Facebook and all the other things. But I really, Instagram has been very nice.
Oh, all right. So we're going to meet you in Benicia. And tell us, Christina, where are we going to get our tickets?
Okay, you can get them online at Benicia Fashion Runway. And Benicia is spelled B as in boy, E-N-I-C-I-A, fashionrunway.com. Or you can get them if you're in the Bay Area and close to Benicia, you can come by my store and pick them up. Or you can call and we can send you the tickets. You know, put it on a credit card, we can send it to you. And my store phone number is 707-745-5125. But probably the best way is to go online and purchase them that way.
All right, everybody. Well, you've heard it. I want to thank my spotlight guest for LA Miracle Cure, Miss Christina Strawbridge, owner of Christina S. And that is for fashion and style in Benicia, and she is having her event on the 28th and 29th of September. Do check out her website. We also have my friend, the designer from New York, Mr. Adrian Alisea. Adrian, thank you so much for taking out this time and being on LA Miracle Cure, and we look to see you in the San Francisco Bay Area suburbs next weekend. All right, everybody, you've been listening to LA Miracle Cure. This has been a special edition, Lifestyle, and we've been talking fashion and fashion on the runway. Everybody, you can see hear all of our shows on America Out Loud, Season 1 and Season 2. And remember, we are on America Out Loud.